Good morning, everyone. Thank the members for attending and thank our witnesses for being a part of this important hearing. It's my pleasure to bring the Energy Committee to an opening session this morning on the subject of natural gas. Our title, Importing Energy, Exporting Jobs, Can This Be Reversed? I just want to say to begin with that Senator Murkowski is on her way. She's in a very important meeting and we expect her momentarily and looking forward to her opening statement. I want to thank Senator Ron Wyden, my dear friend and former leader of this committee for his leadership and his support for my chairman of this committee and look forward to continuing to working with him and all members of the committee on both sides of the aisle. Not quite a decade ago, members of this committee attended numerous meetings in this room to consider the 2005 Energy Policy Act. At that time, we discussed at length the need to import more liquefied natural gas to meet our growing energy demands. Thanks to an extraordinary and swift advances in technology to locate, capture, and produce natural gas, today this committee will discuss the expanded opportunities to export liquefied natural gas and the possibilities to create high-paying jobs in America and support our allies in Europe and budding democracies across the world. When President George W. Bush signed EPEC in 2005, the price of natural gas was averaging $9.50 per cubic feet. By October of that year, the price had risen to $13 and continued to rise in December of that year to $15. These high prices forced chemical manufacturers to close up their factories and head overseas. This affected many states, not just Louisiana, Michigan, and other industrial states around the country, and they did so in droves. The fact that less than 10 years later, we are now in a four-year period of domestic gas prices at $5 or less is stunning, with only a long-term favorable outlook ahead of us. Because of this price reduction and price stabilization, Methanex, for instance, the world's largest producer of methanol, is literally breaking down a factory piece by piece in Chile and shipping it back to Geismar, Louisiana, where it originally was. What caused this reversal of fortune and what game-changing technologies were involved and what action should this committee and the U.S. take given this new set of data and facts? New discoveries in oil and gas have fortified our economy in the last few years, buffering us from an even deeper recession, which I believe would have occurred, and providing new high-paying jobs for thousands of Americans. Nowhere is this more evident than in my home state of Louisiana and all along the Gulf Coast, America's energy coast. According to 2013, a study by David Diskmas at LSU, over 200,000 jobs will be created by new unconventional production in Louisiana alone by 2019. This is not considering the other jobs in other states around the country. It is quite promising. And the oil and gas industry currently supports over 300,000 jobs in Louisiana and has been a major factor in securing below average unemployment for the last 5 years. And for also for states such as North Dakota that have had increased ongoing production, Colorado, et cetera. A recent LSU report estimated that from 2012 to 2018, approximately $47 billion of private sector investment will be made in new and existing plants and projects in Allen Parish, Beauregard, Calcasieu Cameron, and Jefferson Davis. Parishes that people on this committee have probably never heard of, and people in America have never heard of either. But these are real places with real people, a 100-mile stretch between I-10, Lafayette, and Lake Charles, Louisiana. That investment is expected to create more than 37,000 new jobs, high-paying jobs. In America, LNG exports will not only drive continued investment in domestic production and create jobs, they're also a powerful geopolitical tool, particularly in light of Russia's illegal aggression in the Ukraine. The events in the Ukraine have shown that Russia President Putin is intent on using his monopoly on energy supplies to pressure our allies in Europe to advance his economic and philosophical agenda. Last week, Russia sanctioned 9 officials. I was one of them. Being sanctioned by President Putin is a badge of honor for me and the people that I represent. It has only encouraged me to redouble my efforts to increase domestic energy production here in the United States and make the U.S. a global leader in energy exports. America can and should be an energy superpower in all aspects of conventional and advanced sources of energy, including new alternative fuels and alternative energy sources. We all know that real competition in real open markets drives efficiency and lowers prices for everyone. The last thing Putin and his cronies want is competition from the United States of America in the energy race. Tyrants and dictators throughout history have had many reasons to fear revolutions, and this U.S. energy revolution is one they should all keep their eyes on. I look forward to playing a role to bring energy security and independence to America and its democratic allies around the world, to advance freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and yes, the freedom of the press, and to hold the new promise to hold leaders accountable for what they do. Today's hearing is part of this effort. Far too often, when faced with complex and difficult challenges, we stand still, unsure, hesitant, moving in every different direction. I can assure you this will not be the case with this committee under my leadership. We will do our part to use our domestic production of gas, oil, advanced coal technologies, alternative fuel technologies, and exciting renewables to meet our energy needs here at home and abroad. We will also break the stranglehold of tyrants and oppressors who use their energy stockpiles to crush the hopes and promise of freedom and democracy for all people, particularly women and girls. We have a great panel of experts assembled here today, and I look forward to hearing from them about how we can achieve these goals. I will turn to Ranking Member Murkowski as soon as she's here for opening statement, and until then, let me call on our witnesses this morning. I do want to mention for the record and give credit to Senator Mark Udall, who is here with us this morning on a bill that he has introduced that is currently pending, and hopefully we can take this up at some point, the American Job Creation and Strategic Alliances Act, co-sponsored by Senator Begich. It amends section of the Natural Gas Act to allow for exports of natural gas to World Trade Organization countries. And we'll look forward to hearing more specifically about many other pieces of legislation on this subject, both pro and con and neutral, as we develop our policy. But I want to thank you, Senator Udall, for your introduction of this bill. And I'd like to put into the record an op-ed that I thought was particularly on point from the Wall Street Journal, their editorial, A Gas Export Strategy, and from the New York Times, from Thomas Friedman, From Putin, A Blessing in Disguise, for the record. And now I'd like to begin with our witnesses. Then we will go through a round of questions. Our first is Mr. Adam Szymanski, Administrator of U.S. Information. Next, Mr. David Montgomery, Senior Vice President of NERA Economic Consulting. Next, Mr. Edward C. Chow, Senior Fellow, Energy and National Security Program, Center for Strategic International Studies. We're very pleased to have the Minister of Energy from the Republic of Lithuania that I think will give us a really extraordinary and very timely view of what's happening in his part of the world. And then Mr. David Goldwyn, non-resident senior fellow, Energy Security Initiative at Brookings Institute. So please, Mr. Szymanski, if you could proceed with 5 minutes of testimony and then a round of questions. Thank you.